How many waves are there in the ocean? In February of this year, at a beachside restaurant in Newcastle, Australia, Melbourne-based Russian-born wave scientist Alexander Babanin ran me through an ink and paper calculation. Take the mean wavelength of the dominant sort of wind-forced wave in the sea, 100 meters, multiply that by the width of the average crest, also 100 meters, and get 10 to the fourth square meters, the area of the average wave. Now, divide the expanse of the world ocean 10 to the 16th meter square by that wave area and get 10 to the 12th, a trillion waves. There, within earshot of Newcastle's surfing beach, Babanin had given me a mathematical reckoning of what Leonardo da Vinci once called the numberless waves of the sea. Why would one want to tally the waves in the ocean? For scientists at the first International Australasian Conference on Wave Science, where I met Babanin, such accounting may aid in apprehending global wave weather and in projecting long-term wave climate. I had come to the workshop to learn the particulars by listening in on 40 or so oceanographers, mathematicians, and meteorologists discussing wave modeling. I had discovered in previous anthropological work among microbial oceanographers that the global state of the sea can often be illumined through measures of its smallest composing parts. At this conference, organized by New Zealanders and Australians and playfully named Kiwi Oz Waves, or Cos Waves, I learned that many scientists interpret water waves, evanescent entities known through buoy and satellite measures, as well as through computational models, as signs, as indices of climate change, and perhaps climate, humanly modulated climate futures. Why do I take waves and wave scientists as subjects of study for my newest anthropological research? Two reasons. First, while waves have a manifest materiality to them, they are only apprehensible through abstractions. Whether these are deployed by scientists, fisher people, surfers, or others. As such, waves are good to think with and against recent calls in social theory to attend to materiality. And here's a mini bibliography of iconic books in the new materialisms, the call in recent humanities to attend to the extra or pre-discursive material world in literary and cultural accounts. And you'll see underlining these books a snapshot from the Zeitgeist, a 2013 Rice University Humanities Research Center call for postdoc applications on the topic. Such materiality is, I think, too often posed, particularly in post-post-structuralism, as some kind of really real outside signification. But the materiality of the world should not, I think, be separated from the formalisms we use to describe it. And here are images of recent books on formalism, mostly in cultural studies of literature, art, and mathematics. Again, underlined by a recent Humanities Center postdoc call for applications, this one at Rutgers. And I kind of like it that new materials and new formalisms are kind of published around the same time and are vying with one another on this slide of mine. And now here, just to be clear, is a formalism that describes canonical wave-water motion. And to carry this closer to home, let me pepper in formalisms from anthropology. Diagrams that might fascinate someone like Tim Ingold, whose 2007 book, Lines, reads the traces and threads that make up kinship diagrams, rings of exchange and communication, and other anthropological abstractions. And I kind of love the wave profile lower right of Bourdieu's rendering of the seasonal calendar of the Kabyle, which he offers, in fact, as a warning against the hazards of formalism, though he himself never really steers fully clear of those. The founding premise of my research is that the materiality of waves cannot be separated from the formalisms describing them. The waves in which I am interested are scientific things, entities at once material and measured, concrete and conceptual, and, to borrow phrasing from the historian of science, Hans-Georg Reinberger, epistemic and technical. As an anthropologist of science, someone curious about how authoritative accounts of nature are assembled in practice and discourse, in labs, at conferences, in scientific papers, and public culture, I wish to know how scientific formalisms, such as the wave, species, kinship, or life, an earlier obsession of mine, operate to identify and even create new entities in the world. More particularly, I'm curious about how people employ such hybrid onto-epistemo forms as waves to think across domains. And if you were able to read the texts that I've provided to accompany this lecture, you'll know that my wider project asks after wave phenomena and models as described by cosmologists, cardiologists, artists, oceanographers, surfers, economists, and social theorists. I'm interested in the analogies and disanalogies conjured across such zones as the watery, the acoustic, and the social, believing, with Marilyn Strathern, that culture, quote, consists in the way people draw analogies between different domains of their worlds, unquote. The second reason to study waves is to extend and query contemporary anthropological conversations about the non-human. Conversations that have so far treated multi-species collectives, including insects, fungi, trees, microbes, as well as, quite recently, water, air, oil, light, mud, and rocks. Waves, as amalgams of the physical, formal, abstract, and agentive, are enticing objects with which to puzzle through what several scholars are starting to call an anthropology beyond or beside the human. So tonight, I will speak about ocean waves and climate futures. Here are some wave scientists in Australia looking into the future. And to best appreciate that future, we might first ask, do ocean waves have a history? The question may sound odd. Surely waves are simple facts of nature, timeless matters of the substance of the sea. As historian of oceanography Helen Prosz-Wadowski writes, quote, most glimpses out to sea reveal endless waves reaching to the horizon rather than any lasting evidence of human presence, unquote. Waves may have diverse manifestations in maritime and marine lore, a variety of effects on political economic enterprise, and a range of meanings for surfers, artists, or mathematicians. But as formal and material entities, the common wisdom might go, there they are, more or less well captured by the scientific apparatuses, increasingly computational and internetworked, crafted to measure and model them. For some wave scientists, however, not only are scientific modes of representing waves transforming, increasing in power and fidelity, but the patterns and shapes of waves themselves are also transmuting. As storm tracks shift closer to the poles, as the global distribution of significant wave heights begins to wobble, and the claim is controversial, as rogue waves, waves uncharacteristically and unexpectedly larger than those immediately around them, grow in number. In what follows, I report on debates among ocean wave scientists about whether Earth's wavescape might be transforming in synchrony with a political, economic, and social scene of the Anthropocene. That name that ecologist Eugene Stormer and atmospheric chemist Paul Crutzen proposed in the year 2000 to designate the contemporary geological epoch, dating to the Industrial Revolution, during which human activity began to have global effects. Effects now layered into a geological record marked with evidence of coal extraction, atomic testing, ocean plastification, and accompanying species extinction. Whether and how waves might be comprehended as elements in this world, let me just go back for a second, primarily in association with global warming, is an open question. For wave scientists, waves materialize as events, often populations of events, that may be predicted and perhaps managed. Waves for these researchers, I argue, are texts, media that might be read for something of the planet's future state. And I note quickly here that I'm not going to speak about tsunamis, which of course are hugely important in recent times. I follow, at least for now, my wave scientist interlocutors who differentiate between wind waves, predictable, connected to climate, and therefore to things anthropogenic, and tsunamis, which are detectable but not predictable, and since they're caused by earthquakes, not anthropogenic. And I've written elsewhere about the Indian Ocean tsunami of 2004, and I can say more about that in the Q&A if you're curious.